Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, the joy of letter writing is in the news this week because yesterday was World Letter Writing Day. So belatedly, we're marking that day in the company of Liz Maguire. She runs Flea Market Love Letters. Good afternoon, Liz.
Ray, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, good to see you again. We spoke to you way back during co-lockdown thingamajig.
I was wearing a mask, that's all I know. Yeah, that was back then.
Yes. I just remind people about how this all started for you.
Sure. So I started collecting letters, back in the 2010s. And then I started my project Flea Market Love Letters in 2017.
Right. And where do you get your letters from?
Flea markets. It's on the tin.
And there is a sort of a cut-off point, isn't it? Like most of them are pre-1950s, are they?
They are, yeah. And I think it just has a lot to do with kind of the availability about what I find at markets and things like that. A lot of the letters would be World War II, but I really have a sweet spot for letters from the 1930s particularly.
Between the two wars?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you notice the difference between letters from World War One and letters, love letters from World War One and love letters from World War Two.
You can notice some differences. I think I was chatting to Joe there kind of about the idea of philosophy. And I said, oh, you should get a look at some of these letters because the reason I find them so interesting is because they're everyday history written by everyday people.
Mm.
So you have, you know, in my context, I'm an American. So you would have a letter written maybe a day before Pearl Harbor and then sort of the start of the American entry into World War II. And you see all the little hints and nuances that now we know are the building blocks to what would become all these great moments in history.
Yes.
But they're written by, you know, the guy around the corner who's talking to his girlfriend and he's got to go and meet his mates for a drink in an hour or whatever it is.
And the fear around.
Massively so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Massively so. A lot of them are about love and fear and kind of, I think it's just an important way to look at history as it evolves. And remember, we're making history too.
Speaking of evolution, mm-hmm. surely over time, if a couple are apart mm-hmm. for a long time, the tone of the letters must change over time, do they?
Yeah, so
I'm thinking of absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, so I have a series of letters from Minnesota in which they're from the 1910s. They're the McAllister letters, and it's a young woman and her boyfriend who becomes her husband at the end of kind of the time that I have the letters from. But they were separated by what today would be a 2-hour drive, but to them was hundreds of hours apart. So they're sort of, they're writing letters like they're texting. And so the concept of is the letter dying so much as have we just sort of evolved it is a thing I'm really interested in.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that then, because texts, emails, sort of disposable.
Yeah.
Like, there would be nobody sitting in front of a radio presenter in 100 years' time saying that they're touring flea markets collecting texts, will there?
That they've got 3,000 pieces of other people's mail in their sitting room. Like, that's just a normal.
That ain't going to happen.
But it's, I think if we define the letter only as pen and paper, we are coming from a standpoint where we're excluding people who that's not accessible to. So I think if you say that a letter has to be pen on paper, then for people who can use a screen reader or can use a talk-to-text device or something like that, I think we're putting a box around it that doesn't need to be there.
That's interesting. I'm just thinking about the physical act of writing
mm-hmm.
as opposed to your thumbs going all over the place on your phone screen.
Mm-hmm.
Or typing it out on a keyboard.
Yeah.
It's different, isn't it?
I think you would have...
Is it more mindful, I'm wondering?
So it definitely is. The act of putting pen to paper is a mindfulness exercise. It has a lot to do with journaling. There's all sorts of studies to do with kind of how the act of handwriting notes or handwriting definitely gets our brains working differently. Mm. But I used to go to a lot of author events. I'm a big reader. And the question I always sort of, as I was in the audience, it was always the question of the author of, do you prefer to write by hand or type? And authors would always be like, well, I would love to sit down with a long pen. But, you know, reality is I sit down and I type it all out. Well, and so it's very much that act.
Who wrote Hotel New Hampshire?
Oh.
What?
I don't know.
John Irving. Is it John? They'll tell me there. Anyway, we interviewed him. He's written loads of books. He writes
by hand.
By hand.
Power to him.
Yeah.
Power to him, yeah.
I can see John Irving. Yeah, John Irving. But he described it as mindful, very much in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't understand how other people could do it, typing it out.
Doing it differently, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, World Letter Writing Day yesterday. We're told over and over again that it's a dying art. Less and less people do it.
Mm-hmm.
May not exist in, what, 10, 20 years.
I'm an optimist. Are you? I refuse to believe. I believe that it will be here.
Yeah. And you had how many pen pals during COVID?
I had 88 pen pals during COVID.
That's a lot of pen pals.
I had a lot of pen pals. I was getting a lot of stamps.
Yeah. Oh, I see Guinness Book of World Records on the line.
You know what? I'd love another fancy plaque for the wall. That'd be great. Thank you. Yeah.
And how many of those do you still correspond with?
So probably 5 to 6 regularly. I have a key group of friends that I made through the pen pals. And we actually do something really fun. One of them lives in Germany. Two of them live in the UK. And every year, the four of us go on a trip and we route the trip around a postal museum. So this year we went to Copenhagen. And it really is just the most fun because we get together and we write postcards and we send them out from our trip.
A postal museum in every place you go to.
That's our rule. Yeah.
Right.
We've been to Berlin. We've been to Paris and Copenhagen, and we think Athens is next. That's
and what's in those? Like post boxes?
Yeah. Right. It's literally, it's just stamps. It's stamps and post boxes. And the four of us rock up and we are just delighted. Yeah, yeah, that's Alex and Allison and Liz and I. We just rock up.
Yeah. My mother died recently and it was my birthday yesterday. And one of the things that I'm going to miss, and yesterday was the first day, was the handwritten card.
Yeah.
Arriving in the post. Yeah. And that was something really special about that. And she never missed it. And that's, you know, I can appreciate what's that. So if you have it in yourself, if you're thinking about somebody, that write a card, a little card, send it in the post. That's, it's something very special, isn't it?
Massively so. And, you know, I'm sorry about that. And happy birthday. Happy belated birthday. I lost my grandmother last November and she was always the one to sort of send the holiday cards. And so when she started slipping, that was hard for me as well, is that when that wasn't coming in. And it was a very touching moment. My grandfather stepped in and for one of the holidays, he sent a card in lieu. And it was, I remember the moment of it landing on the door. And I was just, it was a very intense moment for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose people recognize handwriting, so that, you know, as opposed to a text, you know, you know who's coming from because you have the number and all that sort of thing. But I like the fact that you're egalitarian about forms of communication. you're not going to exclude texts and emails. I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
I know. Well, you're all about philosophy, I heard. Yeah, so there you go.
Before we let you go, so what's the most recent one you've acquired from?
Yeah. So the most recent one that I'm most excited about this year is a letter from 1858. So a lot of the letters are very dry. And this letter from that period of time would be very dry, kind of about legal and price of cattle and things. And this is a very touching letter between a brother and sister. And that is on the website now.
Yes. And one of them was quite ill.
Yep. Yeah, so he was ill, and in the letter he tells his sister that he hasn't written because he almost died, which is quite a serious line to just find nestled in the middle of a letter from 1858, for sure.
And you get them cheap enough because people don't realise that they're of value. They're of value to you, maybe not to them. But letters can, you know, get high, really high prices.
Yeah. Well, it's the collectors always think it's the stamps. So I've had a majority of times where I'm looking at a stack of 75 to 100 letters and it's a guy smoking a cigarette in a field in New Jersey. And he's always like, yeah, you know, stamps bring you the real money on that. And I'm like, okay, I'm not really. Okay, fine. You want this for the, you're right. I'm going to find an upside down penny black. It'll be fine.
But you're looking for the letters.
And, I am always.
And I'm just looking at, you brought in a folder and just, you know, the calligraphy, the handwriting is just so beautiful, isn't it?
We just, yeah. I mean, I know.
Losing that.
I'm an advocate for the electronic as well, but there's something about pen and paper.
Yeah, like that looks electronic. It's so perfect.
I know. It's amazing. There's actually a woman who's made a font out of letters. Her name is Carolyn Porter. She wrote a book called Marcel's Letters, and she found letters in an antique store and she made a font out of them.
I'd say AI could do that for you, no problem now.
No.
I'm sorry to reduce everything to AI.
It's
but,
okay. It's okay.
Yeah, Liz, thanks so much. Thanks in helping us celebrate World Letter Writing Day. And if you can, do, is what the message we're sending out
thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.